Well, this is the season of Epiphany in the church, the season we celebrate the light of Christ shining in our lives so that we might reflect God's light to the world. I have to say, I love this season. I love that it occurs during the darkness of winter here in Minnesota, turning us outward to impact others in our world. There's a scripture reading that we heard today from the lectionary that's paired with the gospel lesson we just read, and it's from 1 Corinthians. In it, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, where unfortunately divisions run deep, and he reminds them this: there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For the common good. It's a phrase, an ideal that we yearn for, but it is so hard to come to agreement on what that is today. In its original Greek, this phrase means something like to be better, or to bring together, to be advantageous to the community. Personal freedom versus the common good is a much debated and such a fraught idea in this time of a still raging pandemic. I can say that as a decision maker for this community, it's meant my first year here has been filled, sometimes daily, with decisions and planning for how to approach in-person ministry. As a community, we have worked hard to care for and respect one another. I am so thankful for the guidance of our from the health professionals on our health advisory team who continue to meet to advise our leadership on the many decisions we need to make. Please know we walk this path with a desire to keep one another safe while also holding up the important role the church plays in our spiritual and mental and emotional well-being. Martin Luther wrote in Freedom of a Christian two assertions that I think speak to our time, though they also seem to contradict one another. He said, "The Christian individual is a completely free lord of all, subject to none." And second, "The Christian individual is a completely dutiful servant of all, subject to all." Subject to none, subject to all. Luther roots these insights in a later verse from 1 Corinthians, "For though I am free with respect to all, I've made myself a slave to all." And he also cites Romans 13, "Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another." Free in Christ, forgiven of our sins, we are not bound to any particular political or social ideology. But we are bound to the neighbor in Christian love and service, following the example of Jesus. And what is that example? As Catherine Schifferdecker, a Luther Seminary professor, wrote recently, we can look to the gospel stories like the one for this week, where Jesus provides wine for a wedding feast, wine of the finest vintage, abundant and overflowing. The biblical testimony is that God is a God of generosity, even extravagance, when it comes to acts of love. God gives graciously out of God's abundance. Jesus provides copious amounts of wine, fine wine, for a wedding feast, and then becomes himself the living water springing up to eternal life. The Holy Spirit pours out gifts on the church, and all for the sake of the common good, for building up the body of Christ. So where does that leave us? Well, as children of this generous God and disciples of Jesus Christ, maybe we commit together to resist cynicism, despair, division. God is still active. The gifts of the Spirit are still given to the church, and God calls us to use them for the common good. One way these gifts of the Spirit were active recently through this congregation was through the mission trip group that went to Guatemala. So my family of four was fortunate to be part of that group, and I have some stories I'd like to share with you all about it. I can tell you our family committed to this trip in, I think it was July, and as we have all ridden this roller coaster the past 2 years, the COVID situation was quite different then. I'd be lying if I didn't say my husband and I, as the numbers continued to get worse in December, asked each other every couple of days, should we really be doing this? Fortunately, the incidence of COVID in the country of Guatemala has been relatively low, and there have been some countrywide precautions that reassured us. But honestly, what really sealed it for me was about a week before we were supposed to leave, Karen Mehring, who's the Our Savior's member and the amazing leader of our trip, she told me she had just spoken to one of the site coordinators our group would be working with from Casas por Cristo, the organization. And he had just visited one of the families for whom we would be building. They were, right then, tearing down their current home. More of a shack, really, with a dirt floor that they'd cobbled together with mismatched boards and tin. They were tearing it down to prepare for us to come build their new home. Okay, I thought when I heard this, we're doing this. So, and do that we did. So we had 25 participants. We broke into two groups. And with the resources you sent us with, we were able for the first time in our history to build two houses in 1 week. They are simple homes with a cement floor, wood siding, a tin roof, three rooms, and electricity but no running water. It can mean so many things for these families, but we're told that just allowing them to get up off the ground and live in a home with a cement floor improves their health and their quality of life long term. So for those of you who've gone on a build, you know that day one is cement day. And so here are some pictures from our builds. This first one is a photo of, this is approximately an hour after we arrived, preparing the frame that's going to hold the cement. And next I've got a video of the cement process. Once we start pouring the cement, we can't stop until it's finished. So it was all hands on deck to fill the buckets of rocks and sand and water and concrete. This next one might be one of my favorite pictures. This is my son and I who assigned ourselves to filling the buckets of concrete. I think we won the dirtiest clothes of the day award. You know, the scripture we just talked about, varieties of gifts, varieties of activities, but the same God, was so evident in our time together that week. Our groups just figured out how to work together and to work alongside the families and the other local Guatemalan volunteers. It was really a cool thing to experience. Also, we worked alongside the local pastor who had been the one to recommend this family to the pastor's committee to receive a home. This is Pastor Clemente, and he was there the entire time and became renowned for his mad hammer skills. He could drive a nail like nobody's business. I appreciated the conversations we were able to have with him about how he was called to reflect Jesus' light through us to this family. It was simply to show an act of God's extravagant love. This is the family that received one of our homes there in the front by the pillar. The young mom, Yadira, and their son, Jonathan, were part of the church, but the dad, Victor, was more hesitant. So the gift of housing stability to this family, who were currently living in someone else's home, was meant to show the abundant love of God, the same God who showed abundance and joy by turning water into wine. and the family that had torn down their house to prepare for a new one, you can kind of tell by the surroundings that this has been a difficult place to make a home. But here they are. The mom, Dora, she's the matriarch, second from the left. She is the rock of this multi-generational family who has lived in poverty for so long. So their pastor is standing in the, he's in the vest at the edge of that doorway. At the dedication of her home, which is what's going on here, she spoke with tears streaming down her face of having waited 2 years after the news they'd been told they would be receiving a home. You recall our group wasn't able to travel to Guatemala last year, nor were any groups from international destinations. But this year, with the $20,000 in funds you contributed, we were able to complete these projects. Dora, when she spoke, gave glory to God that after starting to think the new house would never happen, when she heard we were coming, it gave her hope to know that they had not been forgotten. Sometimes, she said, it feels like nobody cares about our situation, about our suffering, about our difficult lives. But you coming here has shown me that someone cares, that God cares, and that we are loved and blessed. Many of us were crying with her as she spoke these words. And I have to tell you that I felt your presence there in Guatemala. We were the ones who got to go on the trip, but we brought so much from our Saviors with us. We brought your financial support to fund those two homes. We brought quilts to go on the beds that were also donated by you. We brought prayer beads and dresses and new clothing that the children are wearing. And we brought stuffed animals and whistles that lit up their faces when they received a brand new toy. Today we can give thanks that together, with our varieties of gifts, our varieties of service, our varieties of activities, we are reflecting God's light. We have the Spirit's presence working in us and through us to give witness to the one who is light and life, Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.